Jobs, jobs, and more jobs. But where are they going to come from?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Jeremy Hobson. On Thursday, President Obama will offer his cure for some of the nation's job woes. Today, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is sending an open letter to Congress and the White House with its ideas to get people back to work. The economy's lackluster performance is weighing heavily on the political agenda. But where will things be on Election Day a year from now? Marketplace's John Dimsdale gathered some opinions.
The president's own forecasters have trimmed their growth predictions for 2012.
It's going to be hard for President Obama to argue that he's done well on the economy.
David Malpass at Encima Global expects the economy will barely avoid another recession and growth will be too slow to bring down unemployment. He says all Obama can do is say the financial crisis was worse than anyone expected.
There's already this academic argument out there that recoveries tend to be slow after a financial crisis. So I think that's what he'll fall back on.
Malpass says there's a chance the economy could still take off. But Todd Buchholz, a former economic advisor to President George Bush, says it'll have to be soon.
This president needs the economy to look much stronger by the spring of 2012. By May of 2012, if it's not morning in America, it's good night for President Barack Obama.
A recovery that soon will be difficult. The White House is expecting the economy to grow at a rate of just 2.5% next year, with unemployment averaging a crippling 9%. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Thousands of people are still stranded in parts of Vermont because of last week's flooding. One example, the only road between the city of Rutland and the resort town of Killington has been washed out. Commuters are now using an old hiking trail. From Vermont Public Radio, Nina Keck has the story.
Commuters with mud boots and travel mugs trudge across a half-mile trail in Mendon, Vermont, just north of the washed-out section of Route 4.
We're working in Pittsfield, trying to get the roads back up in shape.
Joe Bowen lives in Whitehall, New York, and is heading to his job in a small town near Killington.
A lot of people are, whether they work in Killington or other surrounding areas, they hike back and forth. The first day, there was a lot of people with suitcases and everything else tracking out of here.
It's an easy hike, but neighbors on either side of the trail haven't been too keen on all the parked cars clustered around the trailheads, so many residents are offering carpools to commuters like Bowen. Logistics can be tricky.
The only thing is you have to have somebody pick you up on one end, and you got to park where you did on the other end. Probably my ride. Hello? That's Journey's End, right where she gets to the road closed sign. Take a right.
The makeshift transportation system seems to be working out so far. That's good, since road repairs may take a while. In Mendon, Vermont, I'm Nina Keck for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. European markets are up this morning. The Swiss government has decided to peg its currency to the euro to help its exporters. In the Asia, the Nikkei is off by more than 2%. U.S. markets took a dive on Friday. The Dow finished at 11,240. Nice.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. By MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by the United Methodist Church, offering an opportunity for listeners to join others to reclaim September 11th as a day of hope at rethinkchurch.org.
With the 10th anniversary of 9/11 this Sunday, we'll spend this week taking stock of the economic consequences of the terror attacks. Today, business travel. Conventional wisdom holds that 9/11 did major damage to the market, but the attacks actually forced some changes that made travel cheaper for business flyers. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Ginzer reports.
Of all the places to be on the morning of September 11, 2001, Salman Sredny was on a plane. He was flying from Florida to Chicago on business for the online trading firm TradeStation, where he's now CEO. Sredny overheard the guy across the aisle talking on one of those seatback phones. He asked him what was going on.
And he told me that the White House was on fire, the Pentagon was on fire, and the Twin Towers in New York were on fire. And I said, come on, that can't be for real.
10 years later, Sredny still flies a lot, but his employees do not. TradeStation used to bring its workers to its Florida headquarters 4 times a year. Now company-wide meetings are done by video conference, weekly ones too. Sredny gives me a quick demonstration with an assistant.
Did you get that package I sent you on FedEx?
Yes, I did.
TradeStation saves more than $1 million a year on travel by video conferencing. Sredny says the company would be doing business this way even if 9/11 hadn't happened, but he says the attacks sped up the process. 9/11 also brought about another big change for businesses. It made business travel cheaper. The disaster happened just as online travel bookings were taking off. Sites like Expedia created more price competition among airlines, and 9/11 scared people away from flying. Christopher Elliott is a travel blogger. He says 9/11 finally gave business travelers, who were used to paying top dollar, buying power.
Demand dropped off a cliff, and the few business travelers that remained were in a unique position where they could negotiate.
Sredny says there's something 9/11 didn't change, the need for FaceTime. His company was recently acquired by a Japanese firm. He's headed to Asia by air to do a little grip and grin with his new partners. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, the UK Telegraph is reporting that 4 out of 5 British stores sell men's pants with a waist larger than what's on the label. So there's 34s are more like 36s. The Telegraph is using the marvelous term manity sizing instead of vanity sizing. I think I'm going to be saying that all day long. Excuse me, shopkeep, are those legs actually 32s or are they manity sized? In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
These days, pretty much everyone is talking about this.
I have a lot of friends that have fallen into unemployment.
Actually, I don't think we've seen any decent job growth.
Everybody is pretty much telling the same thing. Not hiring, try back later.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. A special look at jobs and getting America back to work on our breakdown coverage next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.